I don't want to do a lot of personal business today, but I do want to say, giggle, great game, Ags. But whoop, so, and you tea sippers, you did good too. I was very proud for you. Very good. As we talk today, certainly about what's going on, I'm excited, quite honestly, for the new semester of the growth groups that's going on. And of course, you may have known, if you're new here, what we do is we'll go 3 months, which is 12 weeks, and then you take a month off, and then you'll go 12 weeks, take a month off, and 12 weeks. This is our first year that we've done it this way, and certainly we've increased our attendance of small groups, tripling them from on an average of 50 people to an average of 150 people in our semesters just by doing that. So what a fantastic thing that is for us to do that, because it's blessed me very much. And one of the things that really gets me a lot is that we, when you go this trimester, technically, you can expect, when you sit down with your group, that you are going to experience supernatural power. Why do you mean that? Well, because when we think of supernatural, and that's really a misnomer in a sense, because people didn't used to think of the power of God as supernatural. That was just normal power they experienced in their life. You see what I'm saying? It would be in the Enlightenment period when we got real smart. We called that supernatural. So we'll call it supernatural. But for God, it's not supernatural. If God comes in the room, it's obviously supernatural because he's different than you and he operates on a higher level in that sense. And you can expect to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit when you get in the room, because the Holy Spirit is the one who has called you and brought you and shaped you for that moment and brought you into that place. You can experience the presence of the Holy Spirit that's there. When we come together in Christ, we understand that this is the creative force of the Holy Spirit which brings this about. None of us come to Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit moving on us. Now, some of you would say, oh, I came to know Jesus. I didn't need the Holy Spirit. I'm a really good person. And raise your hand if that is you. That's good. Very good. I see you in the back. Another fox back there in the back. Of course, each one of us bent to our own stuff, bent to our own way, really needed something. It doesn't, I mean, who can fathom this whole thing? Hey, how would you like to die to your individual lifestyle, making your own choices, so you can come follow someone who died and was resurrected, you know, thousands of years ago? Well, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes more sense not to smoke than that. And most of us aren't willing to not smoke. So I don't see how we come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and moves us, as we even see it out of the biblical thing that's there. So we see that to be very natural. Where am I getting a lot of this from? Well, 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul says it like this. And if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go through Acts, but I want you to see quickly today as I move through. He says, we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, this can be a very difficult passage. And first of all, as I read that to you, this is an assumption, Paul would say, that you are a believer and someone who said, yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I've made that supernatural exchange of my little life for his life. And I want to tell you, that's a powerful thing, to go from a life with no meaning, a life that lacks purpose, a life that is struggling just not to destroy itself, a life that is running over other people, to come and say, I want to exchange that life for Jesus Christ. It's like trading in your 15-year-old Kia for a brand new Cadillac. That's right. That's the best way I can give it to some of you. But those of you who don't like Cadillacs and who are into Lexuses, you can then substitute Lexus in there. Now, by the way, if you have a Kia, that was not supposed to hurt you in any way. So I'm sorry. I am always hurting Carol and Daryl with her shoes and her cars. But in that, I want us to understand the assumption that Paul's making is you've made that commitment. And I want to invite you into that commitment today. It's a simple commitment, and all it costs is your life. Sorry. I would say this here about Jesus. If you want your life screwed up, come to Jesus. If you want your life the way it is, that's not the one. He's not going to patch your life up. He doesn't bail out your boat. He calms the storm. He has a new garment that we put on. And when I say screw up your life, I really mean in a good way. Because he turns it around and brings it into the place that it's supposed to be and what you were created to be. All right? So it'll feel like it's screwing it up because you're going the wrong way. He puts you the other way. But give Jesus a hand because he is the one that does that. Now, So Paul says this one thing, we're baptized by one spirit to form one body. And I want us to think of that. For him, he might have been thinking of water baptism in the sense of our Holy Spirit baptism, in the sense that the Holy Spirit came upon you or in the water. But we see in New Testament times that often in the water baptism, we see Holy Spirit moving there. He also moves on. This is very liturgical in the sense of things that many of us Protestants have written off as powerless. But Paul sees them as very powerful, meaning what do we say when we're baptized? It says, I'm joining the community. I am believing in Christ. I'm announcing to my community, I've made Jesus Christ the one in my life. And as I go, I die to the old self and rise to the new. It's a proclamation that today my life is changed and I'm following Jesus and I'm part of you. Whether I'm Jew or Gentile, slave or free, no matter what my standing socioeconomically or my race, we're coming together as one body. I'm breaking down all those dividing walls that's there. He goes on and says this here, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Okay? And so in this whole sense, we see, again, a liturgical thing that you kind of went through today in the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper. You took the bread of the one body, his body broken for you, and the drink, the new covenant coming in. Paul is saying to you in the sense, even as you go into this thing, that you are understanding that you are one body. That's what we're seeing. The one loaf, the living bread coming and bringing us together. And the Holy Spirit is involved in that. This isn't devoid of the Holy Spirit because it's got plastic. Believe me, I don't think God likes plastic either. I only drink out of ceramic. But the whole thing is, he is moving in this. The Holy Spirit, as Luther would say, in and on and around, no matter where you stand on the Lord's Supper in the fullness, if you believe in transubstantiation, no matter, you got to believe the Holy Spirit is moving because he's excited, yes, excited, about you coming together, becoming and forming the body of Christ. Why? Because this body is not made up of one part, but of many. That Jesus hasn't come to reside in your heart so you can live out your individual, quiet, private life in Christ. That you have become part of a body of Christ, having a function, as we just seen and prayed about, that the Holy Spirit has come and done that in you, and moving in you, and calling you to those things in your life. Each individual part, this finger moving to the fullest of its extent. The nurse yesterday, or the other day, pulled me over because I got a boo-boo on my arm, and she says, roll your arms over so I can look, and I said, that's as far as they go, and that's all that's going. Well, she goes, well, they're supposed to go here. So some of you are like my arm. You're only rolling up to here, but you should be coming fully out there. But right now, I told her I subscribe to the tight tendon theory. So that's where I am. But all this, understand that we are a body coming to the fullness. Now, if you have a pen and a pencil, pluma, lapis, it doesn't matter. Write with me now. The Holy Spirit creates a new community through our commitment to Christ. That's a lot, right? Amanda, I saw you roll your eyes at me back there, girl. It is what it is. That's right. You got to write a lot there. I know. And if you can't, just write create, community, commitment, Christ. Those are all C's. And there's a lot of C words in the English language, and I think we just used half of them. But they are right there. So as you write that, I want you to understand something. If the Holy Spirit is the one who is forming this community through your commitment to Christ, the Holy Spirit is committed to community. It is what he's all about. It's all about committing to Christ and this community. If you are just now sitting down with us in this series, you know we've been going through this series called Cultivating a Calm Holy Spirit Community. Our main thrust is that each of us is going to understand this oft misunderstood member of the Trinity, that he's not a divisive force in the church. And Mr. Dean, you Pastor Dean, you realize this here. How the Holy Spirit comes to church, everybody just goes crazy, and they start split. Well, the Holy Spirit told me. He's not here to destroy the community. He's come to make a community. That doesn't mean he doesn't form different ones, but he's come to make a community that's there. And so as we see this here, the thrust is in that we would understand that he is the creative force behind the church. He's not to be relegated or ghettoized to some particular service. Like we only worship the Holy Spirit on Sunday nights or bring him in. He's the Trinity. When you say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're bringing everybody in together today. So the Father and Son don't stand out there in the lobby and go, we're going in. You got to stay out here, Holy Spirit, today, because, you know, it really upsets the church. That's not very seeker friendly. He's out there waiting in the foyer. If you'll meet him, he's there. No, he's here and he's moving and everything. Also, I want us to understand this here, that he's not just present when someone prophesies And especially if they prophesy with a shaky voice. He's not just here when someone falls over on the ground. He's not just here when someone gets healed or someone speaks in tongues. He's not here just when we did the Eucharist. He's not just here when all of a sudden we begin to read the Word of God. He's not a retired author who just wrote the Scriptures. He's here when you gather, baby. And He's here through all of that. And He's moving in you. The liturgy is to create this beautiful imagery so that you can understand Him, because you can't bring into mind all that He is. And He's going to use the things and colors that touch you and move you into that, because He loves you. If you like jazz music, He'll get in your jazz music and jack it up and get you excited about Jesus and jazz music. I don't believe I just said that. But there you go. That's it. It's okay. He's here in all of these things, the moment we gather, and He's empowered us to do so. And so as we look back and see, in a retrospect this morning and where we go through Acts, that He's in the commitment of community. One of the things I want to ask you right now, did you already do this? Where is Brian at? Did he go? Did you have him stand yet? Okay, I'm going to ask you, if you are a leader in this semester's growth group, I'm going to ask you to stand up, our growth group leaders, if you'll stand right now. Would you stand? These are those who've committed right now to leading group. Give them a big hand that's there. It's not all of them, but they're... Stay standing, if you will. If you are a coordinator, co-leader, would you please stand with them as well? Now, go ahead. Look, there they go. And there's a tall drink of water right there. So there you go. Now, as they're standing, I want you to understand that they have committed to a lot of things, praying for their group and doing a lot of things that are going to take some extra time out of their life and really move in a way that causes them to test that commitment that's there. And so as they do, I'm going to ask you this here. If you have joined a growth group at this time, I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now too. Okay. Now see, yes, big hand. Give them a big hand. Now, I'm not here to embarrass anyone, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I want to thank you for committing. Go ahead and you may be seated at this time. I'm not trying to embarrass someone, because I could say, if you've not joined one, stand up. But my point is, I want to thank you for the commitment, because quite honestly, I kind of like my night off. And I'm committed to teaching a Friday night. Friday nights, those are my party nights. That's where I'm hitting. I'm giving up a lot. That's generally when I go home and watch wrestling with my kids. But that's okay. We can get past that. If you know Ray Dean, he'll come over and do some wrestling moves for them. That's why we're praying for your healing. So in these things, though, is that we understand commitment in these things. And it's very much. So real quick, I'm going to touch on some things in the book of Acts. We went through 1 and 7 so that you can see through the lens of the growth group that's there, not because I'm trying to propagandize that at all, but you can see where we're getting the values of why we're trying to meet together and do these things. So real quick, if you will, and I just ask the Holy Spirit to come even right now to bring to remembrance the body of Christ and all that He wants us to do, that He would guide my words and that the words that touch your heart, that He would land them there in the most powerful ways and bring you into a true remembrance of Him and the commitment you've made and a true desire to commit to Him if you've not done so. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Acts 1, 3 through 5, I'll quickly just hit some of these. If you've got your Bible, you go to Acts. And Acts is going to be in the New Testament, and it comes right after John, even though it was written by Luke. So it would have been nice if Luke and Acts would have been together, but we decided it was more important to separate them to confuse you. So that's it, what we're going to do. Go to the book of Acts. We're going to show it up here, and we'll show it in Spanish as well. I'm sorry we don't have Spanish notes today, but if you only speak Spanish, you didn't understand that anyhow. So forgive me. So someone to let someone know with that as we go. But we have it up here, and we'll also have our fill-ins for you in that way. So as you see, it says here in chapter 1, after His suffering. Now, by the way, Jesus has already been crucified. He's already been resurrected. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. Not yet. He's going to take a little bit of time, Dr. Miller, in coming around and talking to His disciples and explaining to them some of the things that's going on. So it says He presented Himself to them, verse 3, and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. I'm not a dead body. I'm not a flittering spirit in heaven who's playing a harp. I am resurrected. Gives them these proofs. He appears to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and the power of the kingdom of God. We say, let it come. And on one occasion while He's eating with them, I just love Jesus. He loves to eat. He would have fit in North America well. I'm telling you, he would have done well, if not Central America on down. But he would have made a good one. So as we see, he's eating with them. And while he's eating with them, he gives them this command. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And how powerful that is as we talk about that baptism that's there. He's sitting back saying, I want you to understand the Holy Spirit's moving. Community will be formed, basically. This is what we've got going on here. No matter what happens in the lives of the community, whether Jesus suffers or the tomb is empty or he appears and reappears at disjointed times and events and confuses them, the community, in this case the apostles, always gather around Jesus Christ as their impetus and inspiration for life together. Did you hear what I'm saying again? They always join around Jesus as their impetus and their inspiration for life together. And in his book, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, an old book that's there, he passed away as the Nazis actually would execute him at the very end of World War II. He would write in that book that we function in relationship together through Jesus Christ, that every one of our relationships go through Jesus, that we get haywire when all of a sudden we start expecting something out of someone that only Jesus can give us. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to sit back and make excuses for us not doing things and saying, you need to go to Jesus for that cup of water. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this here, that none of us can get the fullness of what life is offering us except through Jesus Christ. And you know what? One of the things is often that we make a friend and we know we're bringing them along and we're trying to be Jesus to them in that sense, but we will stumble. We're bringing them a cool drink of water, but boom, when we stumble and the water spills, they're going to despise you for that because you've not connected them to the source that's there. And one of the things we see in our growth groups is we have many different types of groups, right, Mark? You went to the food group and ate a lot, just like Jesus did. It was a Jesus group. And then, and Raymond Matthews, where are you at? Raymond, raise your hand. You and Bill Berry, y'all did a fix the car group, and you said it has nothing to do with worship. And every one of us said that we pray most when we're in the car. So we expected that, oh, please start, please start. In those things, we see different groups. A bowling group, the Holy Rollers is what Brian had there. It was awesome. And so we see these groups going on, and they're fun, and people come. But the truth is, no matter how much fun we have, we've got to remember that our relationships center around Jesus Christ. A true community must always come and center around Jesus. One of the things I've seen in this past year that's really blessing me is when my friends come over, and I don't have a lot of them. I'm putting my thumb in and out because there's one of my friends who's in and out sometimes. So, but in that sense is when we come together and talk, I hear Jesus seasoned in our conversations much more than in the past. Some of it has to do with Johnny Manziel going to Cleveland, but the point is that we do, and I'm excited about that. Right, Robert? When we get together, no matter what we're doing, Jesus gets in the conversation because he's the one who brought us together. We may get over it because we like food or whatever our common things are, Tammy, but Jesus is the reason that we're coming together, and I want to relate to you through Christ in that way. That keeps our relationships clean in the sense of because I always use this one here. Let's say that I have someone I really love, and I'm going to express my love through quarts of ice cream. And so I go over to that person's house, and the Lord showed me this picture before I was married. There was a girl I was kind of sweet on, and I kept running her away. He kind of said, you know, you're dropping off about 25 quarts of ice cream on her doorstep, and she can only eat two. And so when you go by her house and see that the other 23 have melted, that's math, you get mad because she didn't eat all the ice cream. See, Jesus Christ is the great resistor in the sky, essentially. He knows she only needs two quarts, and so you bring all your love to him, and he'll give her what she needs. In that sense, we realize that we relate with people in the way we want them to relate back, and we're all different. As we relate through Christ, he works those things out and brings us into rich relationship where we really begin to see that our love and the reciprocating love begin to fill themselves in a powerful way. And I think that's very close. I'm simplifying Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together. You don't need to buy the book now. Just think of ice cream. And some of you ladies say, thank you. And so as that is, I want us to understand that Jesus becomes the one we relate to. So the Holy Spirit community is committed to Christ as its center. And you can write that in. It's much easier. Christ is its center. And by Christ as its center, I'm not trying to say that we sit around and say, praise the Lord, brother, when someone asks you how you're doing. Throw out just snippets of something because you're trying to be Christian. But all of a sudden we realize this here, that he's the one who brought us together. And each one of us here together, maybe a couple of us would hang out together, but it's Jesus who brought us together. Is our uniqueness, is the unique parts of me, are my desires in there, my personality in there at all? Of course it is. If you remember at Pentecost, fiery tongues come and touched each one of those as individuals. And I believe when the Holy Spirit touches me, he touches me knowing those very secret parts of me and the heart of how what I love and what's there. And the language I speak reaches out to people who understand the language I'm speaking. If I understand a little touch on Pentecost, that he loves what's in me. He put it in me. He knows I love blues and rock and roll and R&B and these kind of things. And my biggest thing when I came a pastor was, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to listen to that, and I'm going to have to dress like that. And he said, no, I want you to be yourself. Just tone yourself down a little bit. So there it was. That's kind of what I heard. So for me, not for you. Now, that's what we want to see. But I want us to understand this beautiful passage from Ephesians 2. I want us to remember this. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Think of you and me and whatever hostility is there. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings us together. Christ being that commitment, that centerpiece that brings us in together. I love that because all of us have enmity with each other. All of us struggle in that peace. So I think I've said enough about that. Let's move on because we're not getting through this whole thing together today. You know that's true. That's the way it works. Very good. By the way, you were at the Aggie game and it didn't get started for 2 hours because of lightning strikes. Did you think God was against your team at that point? You did. All right, that's good. Can't believe you made it. I want to go ahead and say, I want to thank Andrew and Joe for being here. They stayed through the whole game and were there and still made it home. God bless you. I know you've made a commitment to Christ, and I drink to you in Jesus' name. All right. Let's move on to Acts 2, 41. So after the directive of Christ, the disciples are gathered for the feast of the Pentecost, as we just alluded to, and that violent wind comes through and those fiery tongues. But it says after Peter gives his, and the reason I'm skipping over that is because we've talked a lot about it, not because I'm going to try to make anything lesser, but moving to where our import is today. Those who accepted his message, Peter's message, as he got up and said, these guys aren't drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. And I always think that alludes to come back at 12, they probably would have been drunk. But the point is, it's only 9, so they're not drunk. Let me tell you what's going on. And he gives them a speech about Joel, the prophet Joel, and how the dreams and visions for old men and young women and all these things. And he says, those who accepted his message that day were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. Added to their number. How do you add 3,000 people? You add the 20 you had to the 3,000. But no, they added 3,000 to their number. Now, I just want to say if we added 3,000 to our number today, we'd have to do 2 services. So, more? You think more? Okay, all right. More. We'd send some with you there, Pastor Dean. There. So as it is, the point is 3,000 get there. Everyone's filled. It says here that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Again, it's just naturally supernatural. Holy Spirit shows up, awe breaks out because wonderful things happen. And we see that going on in this place. The Holy Spirit community is committed to new creation through growth. I want you to write that down as I explain it real quick. And I am being quick here. I know you're pregnant. I'm being very quick here. All right. So she had that look on her face. So in that, why am I just saying growth, new creation and growth? Well, because I want you to understand that when the Holy Spirit's in the creation, he shows up hovering over the waters, Frank. You know, he's the holy surfer, and he's out there, and he starts dispelling the darkness from the light and the water from the land. He's structuring things out. He's getting chaos dispelled, and he's putting things together and growing things, creating. Things happen. When the Holy Spirit shows up, things create. He hovers over Mary. Boom, he's got Jesus. Boom, everything's going on because the Holy Spirit likes to hover over and get some creative things going. So if you don't like creative force, you don't like change, you don't like growth, then he's going to screw your life up because he's just really kind of into that. He's always moving through creation. So where do we see growth? Well, am I talking about specifically the church? I do believe powerfully that as the Holy Spirit moves, he brings growth. Does it always mean numbers here or specifically there? Maybe not. Maybe it does. But the point is you want to see growth somewhere, and you always want to see growth. And for us, we sit back and say, I want to see growth in my life. I want to see me move into spiritual disciplines, if it was a prayer life, these whatever it may be, these spiritual formation, however it may be, obviously. But I want to get to know my Father better than I ever have right here in this season. Every season I want to make that commitment that's there. He wants to grow. I don't care how old I am, where I stand, I want to grow in Christ Jesus. I'm never done. It's never enough. I want to continue pressing forward and understanding more than I ever understood and experiencing more than I have ever experienced. That's what I want to see happen. And here's the exciting twist to this thing here, is that the Holy Spirit, even as he's got this new creation through growth, I want you to understand this here. That he wants to grow us in this more in a way that maybe is exciting to us, more so than the thought of spiritual formation. That word doesn't light us up, though it's fantastic. Maybe a more possible exciting twist is that this growth is in your imagination. That you actually have an imagination that can begin to imagine what Christ can do in your life and what God can do in your life and the Holy Spirit can do. Do you understand what I'm saying? That all of a sudden you can believe he can heal my children. He can bring my children back. He can break the bonds of poverty on my life and financial crises. He can save my marriage. He can change me. He can heal my body. Then my imagination begins to break free and I begin to think of things that I've written off. Lord, come and bring it here. I want to be open to that. I want to have expectation and experience. And I know that if I have expectation and today I'm not healed, I'm going to cry about it. But you know what? I'm not laying down my imagination so it can fit over here to fit what my experiences are. Do we understand what I'm saying? Holy Spirit, come and get my imagination out of the box and let me begin to think again and imagine that wonderful things can happen in Christ Jesus. And take the limitations I keep painting, go, it's never going to work. This thing ain't ever going to work. Then I can imagine more. And growth, what? Creativity. Some of us say, well, I'm not a creative person, but you are. And that he can creatively begin to move to me. That all of a sudden I can come and begin to wear nice purple suits. Now, I ain't talking about that per se, though Lurdell would probably like a nice purple suit. I'm looking for it, Lurdell. There you go. I've got mine coming too. But the point is that creativity, these new ideas that begin to happen and begin to happen in the church in this way, the drawing, the painting, whatever it may be, these beautiful things, they're there. That's what I'm talking. I'm not going to go any deeper than that. That's growth. I want it all. If it means musically, one of the things that we see in our growth groups that fit along this here is that we have Bible classes so you can understand and go through that, but also, and we're all going through naturally supernatural here, but at other times, we have things like you said before, bowling and all kinds of ideas. I hope that you, in the future, as January comes and we start again, will have some ideas of what you would like to teach and get excited in. If it's salsa dancing, Mario, bring it on, brother. I'm okay with that. I know you love to dance. Oh, that's your wife. That's right. So, fantastic. Well, as we look on here, that's one of the things that we look. God wants us to grow up, though. And we see that in Ephesians 4:15. To know the whole truth and tell it in love. Like Christ in everything, we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so we'll grow up healthy and God robust in love, as the message would say. All of these lead us into the kingdom life as it pertains to the Holy Spirit coming and bringing all that creativity, all that he has for me coming out. I want to say this to you also when it comes to leadership, as we just saw Seth being sent. Paul would, or the Hebrews, writer of Hebrews was saying, Hebrews 5, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's words all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And he wasn't saying that in a positive way. We don't want to be in a place where we're not growing and that we are stuck in an elementary understanding of the Father and the Lord and the Holy Spirit more. Now, next thing, all believers were together. They held everything in common. They sold property, possessions, given to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number those who were being saved. The Holy Spirit community is committed to authentic and loving relationships. I'm going to give you these and I'm going to get out of your way. Authentic, loving relationships. And Pastor Dean, you know this to be true. I've been a pastor for at least 10 years. Well, how many years has it been? 40? 57 years. And to be able to continue to love and to be authentic is a very big challenge. You've got to be committed to the community to do that. Because people get in, they hurt you, they misunderstand you. Your tendency to shut off relationally is just the same as everyone else's here. And Pastor Dean would tell you, that's Ray Dean's father over there, and I just thank you so much for being here today. He would tell you probably how hard it's been to keep that door open and to continue to receive and to give. It's very difficult, and I thank you so much for being here today and you and your beautiful wife being here, Ms. Dean, to do that. My heart for you is to encourage you to understand that authentic relationships just means being real. Now, Mom, that doesn't mean just telling them like it is, okay? Because that's why Pastor Fox put loving on there. He said, we better put loving on there too, because your mom's going to tell them like it is. So that's it. Guys, let's, amen. The thing is, let's realize that growth groups bring us into proximity relationships. Do we get to make best friends here? There's no guarantee of those things, but we do get proximity to friendships. We meet new people, and it allows us the opportunity to begin to meet and cross-pollinate in lives together. Now, our old home group system, you'd be with the same people for 15 years, and you could get some deep relationships, but you might meet anyone else, and someone else might not get into your group, and they might not ever meet anyone. Let's continue to press forward in relationships. We offer relationship there. We want to see you. If you are in this church and you don't get in growth groups, it is very difficult to continue to relate in a way because life happens. And if you have a wife or a husband, often you have to make schedules on there. This is my spouse time. And you put it on your calendar. Or it doesn't even happen at home. So that's why we do these things. And we have fun. We even have a fun night there and other things. I will move on from that there if I can move a little further, Mel, and take us to the last one, Acts. That's there. You have Hebrews on your notes. But Acts 4:32 says, they all were in one heart and mind. No one claimed they had any of the possessions they were on, but they shared everything they had with great power. They continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them, there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned the land and houses sold them, bought the money for the sales, and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet and distributed to anyone in need. Now, this is very similar to the last passage you've seen, but there's an emphasis here on helping the needy. And I wanted us to remember that one of the things that a community does, and this is always reaching out to the needy and the broken. And by broken, I mean those who are physically ill. We believe in extending and praying for people, and we believe to see that going on, and we believe in reaching out to those in need. That is our heart as we come today to realize that in our growth groups, we do outreaches and things together to do that, but it's because we're trying to form a community together. That's our heart. And so I invite you to stand with me now as time has brought us to this. I invite you to stand. And I'm going to pray quickly because I know some of you need to get going and get to your children. I ask the Holy Spirit to come right now. And as I'm asking Him to come, I'm asking Him to move on these issues of community. And one is the one of Christ-centeredness. It is hard to have Christ-centered in my life if indeed I don't know Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, I've known Jesus all of my life. But there's been some big gaps at times that Jesus wasn't the center. Today we say, yes, Lord. Come be the center of what I do. Come be the center of my relationships, my relationship with my children, with my wife. And I say yes to that all day. That recommitment that comes there and that commitment to Christ that's there. And I say yes also to this here. I say yes to new creation, to in my own life, to growth in my own life. Yes, Lord. I understand as you move, Holy Spirit, on me, that you are calling me to growth and to grow up as a believer and to grow in my imagination and my belief in all that you can do. And I say, come Holy Spirit now. And for those of us who've been hurt in relationships, we're just done with it. We don't fit in. No one gets us. All these things come to my mind because this is what I often feel. Because I don't understand sometimes how I come across or whatever it may be in my own personal lives. What I'm saying, Lord, is I stand in front of this group, even as I ask them to stand in front of you, and I commit myself to relationship and to be authentic and real and open and loving in spite of what I may have felt, in spite of what may have actually occurred. Because I know no community can be made without commitment, and I'm committing to those relationships. And I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, increase my compassion for those needy and broken, that I would not look away, but rather would pursue. Now, as I lift up my hands and say, yes, Lord, I invite you to come down for prayer as these things may have touched you, to move in a way, to be moved in a way of healing in your body, healing in your broken relationships, or healing in these things, so that you might be able to move forward in the community of Christ that's there. We need you because all parts are necessary. It's here. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Move now. And as even as I would say to you, yes, I would love to see you commit to growth groups and afterwards you can go sign up afterwards and go online. My main thrust today isn't so much that you sign up, but that you realize that commitment to the community is necessary even as the Holy Spirit is calling you into that. As you're committing to Christ. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and for those of us who struggle just being around people, that you would come and move and call us into that relational lifestyle. And come, Holy Spirit. Now, I bless you. I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that triune Godhead that is reaching out in fullness of love, a true community calling you into the community to become members of His body. Hostility laid aside. Walk into the fullness of the commitment of the kingdom. And to be blessed in His holy name. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.